بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 24th of July in the year 2020 Alhamdulillah, we're beginning the second week, the eighth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our beloved mother, Sayyida Maymuna, radiyallahu anha. So the next section is entitled, A Glimpse into Her Education of Others. It thus would not come as a surprise to learn that our beloved mother, radiyallahu anha, guided her children for the remainder of her blessed life. Take for instance the following few examples. So they became storehouses of sacred knowledge. In particular, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Imam Ahmad's Muslim, learn a portion of your deen from Humaira. Learn a portion of your deen from the red and white beautiful lady. So he was referring to Aisha radiallahu anha. But all our mothers became storehouses of knowledge. Sayyida Maymuna was no exception radiallahu anha. It is related in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 6-333 that a woman had vowed in her illness that if she was cured, she would offer thanksgiving salah in Bayt al-Maqdis. She was thus preparing to leave for Jerusalem when Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha advised her to rather offer her salat in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the reward was 1,000 times greater than other masjids. So this is the gist of the report. So what's happened? A woman, she's ill. So she wants shafa. So one of the ways to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you don't, this is very important, you don't negotiate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't start saying, Ya Allah, if you cure me, I will do this. There's no negotiation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, what is praiseworthy is if you do something out of gratitude. So if you say, Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you cure me, I will offer this out of gratitude. That is praiseworthy. So this woman, she was cured. And she had vowed that she would offer salat in Masjid al-Aqsa. That was her vow. So Maymuna radiallahu anha, she instructed her, you don't need to go to Masjid al-Aqsa. Offer your salat in Masjid al-Nabi, because the rewards are greater. Thus the blessed scholars, rahimahumullah, have deduced from this that the vow can be fulfilled if one goes to a superior similar location. So think about that. She was actually in Al-Madinah. So look at the hardship that she was saved because Maymuna radiallahu anha said, you don't need to go. So this is something interesting, right? So you would have thought, but she made a vow for Aqsa. And the response is, if there's a greater place, you fulfill your vow. So even if she went to the Kaaba, for instance, fulfill your vow. Right, so this is something the scholars learn from this blessed narration. It is related that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was seen with disheveled hair. Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anhu inquired about this and he replied, Ammar rahmatullah alayha, she used to comb my head, but she is amidst her monthly course. So what's happened? Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very particular about his appearance. But one day his hair is not in place. So his aunt, our mother, Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha, she inquired, and what did ibn Abbas say? He goes, my wife, she's having a cycle. And she's the one that combs my hair. Maymuna radiallahu anha thereupon said, that should not be a bar in her combing your hair. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to place his head for combing on my lap and also recited the Quran, and the monthly course did not stop him from this. Indeed, we used to go to the masjid to spread out a sheet for him. Remember, O my son, the monthly course is not in one's hand. This is in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 6-334 with a Hassan chain of transmission. Abu Ya'la in his Musnad number 7081 or 12-512. Al-Humaydi in his Musnad number 310 or 1-149. So what was Ibn Abbas doing? He thought that it's better if I don't allow my wife to comb my hair. She's on a cycle. So our mother Maymuna radiallahu anha, she said, Rasulullah would be resting on my lap when I was on my cycle. In other words, are you holy than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then she said, he would recite the Quran in that state. So imagine, your wife's on a cycle, you got your head on her lap, you can read Quran, it's sunnah. And then she said, we used to go to the masjid to spread a sheet out there. But this is only for the mothers. The mothers of the believers can enter the masjid in their monthly cycle. There's a report in Tabarani. Then she said, oh my son, the monthly course is not in your hand. Right? So this is again, notice, she's not just educating the masses. She's educating the faqis. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was Tarjaman al-Quran, the interpreter of the Quran. And she's instructing him. And also, there's another informative report here. And this is the report. In Tabarani, in his Kabir 23-374, Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra, volume 7, page 65, Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq, volume 45, page 108, our beloved mother Umm Salama radiallahu anha relates that her exalted husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen carefully and attentively. It is not permissible for anyone in the state of janaba, i.e. in which a ritual bath is needed, to enter the masjid, nor for any menstruating woman, except for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wives, Fatima al-Zahra and Ali radiyallahu ta'ala. I have stated this so that you do not become erroneous. So this is the khasa'is of these noble personalities, meaning unique for them. We can't enter the masjid if we need to have a bath. Right? We're not talking about passing through, we're talking about, you know, staying in the masjid. Except, there's exceptions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who did he mention next? All the mothers of the believers. If they're having their menstrual cycle, it doesn't matter. They can enter the masjid. And the beloved daughter, Fatima. And look how interesting, Ali. Ali could also enter the masjid. And then he said, I have only mentioned this so you do not become erroneous. So this is something for the Ahlul Bayt. They were given honor above others. Radiallahu ta'ala. So go to the previous report when she said, we used to go to the masjid to spread out a sheet for him. You can't apply that to the females. That's only for the mothers of the believers. In another report, and this is also interesting. So there was a particular woman, and she earned her living by washing the dead bodies. She earned her income from this. But somebody told her, well, you have your monthly cycle, so you can't work during that time. Can you wash the dead body? So she got confused. So she went, the report says, and she asked the muhaddiths, these are the scholars of the hadith, and she asked them respectfully, look, I earn a living, do I need to stop working when I'm having my cycle? And the muhaddiths just looked at each other. Then somebody said, why don't you go to Imam Malik? So she approached Imam Malik and he quoted this very hadith. He goes, menstruation isn't in your hand. Soon as he narrated it, the muhaddith started waking up. They go, oh yes, this is narrated by so-and-so, narrated by so-and-so, narrated by so-and-so. So I'm going through the chains. And then the woman goes, where were you before? So this is a report. Hafiz Zahabi records it in his seer. Sayyih. What does that teach you? A muhaddith doesn't know what he's carrying. A faqih does. He understands the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have you understood? Only when the Imam explained, then they went back to their forte. Yes, this hadith is authentic. And it goes through so and so. So note, many rulings can be extracted from that report as well. In another report it mentions, in Nasa'i, in his Sunan, number 385, Sayyidah Maymuna radiallahu anha said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to lay his head in the lap of one of us and recite the Quran while she was menstruating. Now this is a very interesting report. Why? Because the Jews, they keep away from their wives like the plague when they're having their cycle. They don't sleep in the same bed. Anything that the menstruating woman touches, they're not allowed to touch. It has to be washed. So that was prevailing in Al-Madinah at the time as well. When Rasulullah received the revelation and told them what they could do, their response was, he's changing everything. That was their word, because he's changing everything. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran? To remove you from your shackles. Allah ta'ala in his last dispensation of the divine revelation, he's made it easy. In the previous dispensation, there was very hard rules and regulations. One of them was with regards to this. Right, so the divine dispensation is very easy for us, and we should be very grateful to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Previous ummats, I'll give you one example. When urine touched their clothing, the clothing could not be purified. You could put zamzam on it, it's not going to make it pure. The only way around it was to cut that piece off. How hard would that have been for us? As soon as your hand goes in your clothes, do we even do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wash it 3 times, wash it 7 times, alright brother, but I can clean it, yes. Previous ummahs weren't allowed that. In fact, one report mentions that a man from the previous ummah, he said, no, just wash it. Allah ta'ala is forgiving and merciful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he was punished in the grave because of giving that ruling. Erroneous. So note, this is another mercy from this. And this is also worth mentioning to our Jewish brethren. Right? You say, in our religion, not only can we mix with the females on their cycle, we can recite the divine revelation with our heads in their laps. Right? Think about that. Right? So again, this is again honor for the females as well. Another report. In Ahmad in his Musnad 6-332, Bayhaqi in his Sunan, Abdul Razak, Kanz al-Umal, Volume 5, page 138, Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 4, page 346 of the New English Translation, Shaykh Ahmad Abu Abdul Rahman al-Banna, Rahmatullah alayhi, states Hassan in his Bulughul Amani 2-161. The freed servant of Maymuna radiyallahu anha, Sayyida Nadbah radiyallahu anha, O Budayya. So one of the freed servants of Maymuna radiyallahu anha, they relate, Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha sent me to the wife of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. On arrival, I saw that their beds were separated. Thus I assumed that there was an argument and they were sleeping separately. Thus I asked, and his wife replied, no, I am menstruating. And if I menstruate, he does not approach my bed. I then mentioned this to Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha. She thereupon sent me back to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and said, have you desired a course of action other than the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend the night with one of his wives if she was menstruating, and the only thing separating them would be a cloth going down to her knees. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So is this authentic? Yes. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad Bayhaqi Abdul Razak. So what is Abdullah ibn Abbas doing? He's not sleeping with his wife. Imagine he separated the bed. So now you've got to think good of the Sahaba. If you think ill, he didn't know hadith. What it means. Right? You think good, what is he doing? He's fearing. He's thinking, look, if I'm in the same bed as my wife, one thing might lead to another. So out of precaution, maybe he was doing this. But whatever the case, is that the sunnah? So what happened? Maymuna's servant brought this back. Maymuna radiallahu anha said, take this message to my nephew. Have you desired a course of action other than the sunnah of Rasulullah? Rasulullah used to spend the night with one of his wives when they were menstruating. Only thing separating them would be a cloth going down to her knees. Meaning, he didn't have the full intimacy. But everything else, between the husband and wife, he did. Now think about that. Compare that to what I just mentioned about the Bani Israel. They can't even sleep in the same bed. So note who was educating the faqih, Sayyidah Maymuna radiallahu. And also note, she wasn't embarrassed. There is no shyness when it comes to the deen. Because think about it, it's an intimate matter. And this is your nephew. This is how an aunt talks to her nephew. That's not the case. The case is this is deen. He was a faqih. And she didn't even ask to elaborate. She didn't say, oh, my nephew, I know what he's doing. It's out of taqwa, maybe he's keeping away. No, Rasulullah slept with his wives. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because are you following another course? So note, wouldn't allow her to comb the hair. Wouldn't sleep in the same bed. But of course, Maymuna corrected this, radiallahu anha. In another relevant report, our mother radiallahu anha said, my bed was besides the praying place of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Though sometimes his garment fell on me whilst I used to lie in my bed. This is in Sahih Bukhari, number 517, in the chapter on prayer facing a bed occupied by a menstruating woman. So Imam Bukhari actually went out of his way. This is the chapter heading. Prayer facing a bed occupied by a menstruating woman. So he gave you the answer. He goes, you can pray. Imagine somebody goes to you, what's in front of you when you're praying? Your wife. It's a bit strange with her. But, oh yeah, and also, she is menstruating. And I'm praying, Qibla, she's in front of the Qibla. You know, my, what would most jahil people say? Astaghfirullah, brother. Right? But enough, she's, you know, she's in front of you. She's having a menstrual cycle as well. Rasulullah did that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah did it. Where is that? Bukhari Sharif. What's the fiqh on it? Prayer facing a bed occupied by a menstruating woman, said Imam Bukhari. Right? So look how much mercy and ease there is in our deen. Sayyidani Yazid ibn Asam, i.e. the other nephew of Maymuna radiallahu anh, he relates. A male relative of Maymuna radiallahu anh once came to her and she found that he had the smell of drink emitting from him. So there was some sort of intoxicant smell coming from this relative of Maymuna. She said in anger, "La in lam takhruj ila al-muslimin fayajliduk, la tadkhul aliyya abada." If you do not go to the Muslim people that they whip you, or she said, purify you, never enter my chamber ever again. So this is recorded in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 98 of the English translation, in the chapter on the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz Zahbi in his Siyar 2-244, Sheikh Shu'ib al-Arnaut rahmatullah alayhi in his Hamish Siyar 2-244 states Hassan. So let's look at this. So who was this relative? We don't know. He was a cousin, distant probably cousin of Maymuna. He smelled of alcohol, intoxicants. What did Maymuna radiallahu anha say immediately? She was angry. And she said, if you don't go to the Muslim people, that they whip you or purify you, never enter my chamber again. Did she take any prisoners? Think about that. Didn't even say, maybe you walk past somebody who drank. He goes, you dare enter the chamber of Rasulullah with the smell like this coming off you. Just go and purify yourself. Otherwise, don't ever enter my chamber again. So now what she teaches? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah said in his Ihya 2-322, this is one of the levels of the strongest disapproval. Why? Because if somebody is under your charge, you can take such disciplinary measures. How many days can you keep away from your brother and sister? 3 days. Famous hadith. Is there any exceptions? Yes. If anybody is under your charge, you can spend, you know, months away from them if you want. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept away from Zainab bin Jahsh for 3 months, almost 3 months once. Because she angered him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he's his wife. So here, this is why she was so harsh. Because you're my cousin. You're related to me. He goes, go and purify yourself. So he's teaching you that anybody under your care, you're supposed to set the example with those people. For instance, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, if he found out that one of his family members had lied, he would refuse to talk to them until they repented. So imagine, Rasulullah finds out somebody in his family has lied, didn't talk to them until Tawbah. Wa alaykum salam. Right? He set in the standard. Why? Because you set the standard with your own family. People want to know what's happening behind the closed doors of the Imam. Right? You know, think about that. So here again, Maimuna was teaching radiallahu anhu. And also what's interesting about the report, which is worth mentioning. Hafiz Zahabi wrote a very famous work called The Siyar, The Lives of the Noble. Many volumes. He himself was a student of Ibn Taymiyyah. His work is very, very sound in terms of chains of transmission. But Shaykh Shu'ayb al-Arnaut, rahmatullah alayh, he wrote a commentary of that work called Hamish Siyar, meaning, you know, the validation of the reports in the Siyar. This same Shaykh, he wrote a commentary, the authentication of Imam Ahmad's Musnad. Right? So notice these scholars, they've given their lives to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we don't even know, we just know. Right? Remember how many years they spent authenticating the hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad. That's why you get the hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, and he was authenticated by Shaykh Shu'ayb al-Arnaut. Authenticated. Right? And also the Siyar. Authenticated by Shaykh Shu'ayb al- and Siyar goes into volumes. And he said this hadith of Maymuna is Hassan. It's authentic, well authentic. So all I mentioned today was basically a few reports where now she's educating the Muslims at large, starting with her family, radiyallahu ta'ala. And note, we also learn from our dear and beloved mother, radiyallahu. And like I keep on mentioning, she was the final mother of the beliefs. And you get this impression that she was one of the most learned of the mothers of the beliefs. But, alhamdulillah, they were chosen by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa atubu ilayhi min shaitanir rajim, subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, wal asr, insan lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilu salihan, wa rawasu bil haqq, wa rawasu bil sabr, wa sadaqa Allah.